The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have a good card on the flat from Ascot. There's also two jumps meetings on Friday afternoon, Fontwell and Hexham, the two venues, and then an all-weather fair in the evening with Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Bonjour, Mark. Bonjour. I'm getting all ready. Just getting that little feel for the weekend, you know what I mean? It's a biggie, isn't it?
It is. The pre-de-lac de triomphe takes centre stage.
I think it's pre-de-lac de triomphe, triumph.
Well,
you know, right, I think that's for making a motorbike in it. It's not very French, that, the pre-de-lac de triomphe.
Pre-de-lac de triomphe.
That's more like it, yeah. Ooh la la and foie gras.
Yeah, très bien.
Yeah, merci beaucoup. No end of it, mate. No end of it.
Yeah, it's just fantastic.
Happy days.
A few stories, actually, as well, regarding the ARC, as we record this on Thursday morning. The biggest story being Ryan Moore will definitely have a ride now. He's on board Tapestry, who Ballydoyle supplemented at a cost of €120,000.
Yeah,
so that's
well,
a big price to get her in the race.
Well, it is, but the thing is, if she can just get a place even, you know, for future value, that would be a real good wild card that they've used, sort of thing. And I'm sure that they've put a lot of thought into this and think that certainly she goes there with a sporting chance. So I think she's interesting that they decided to pay that. And again, 120,000 yo-yos to those boys, drop in the ocean.
Yeah. And, of course, she beat the market leader to Gruda last time, so she's entitled to take a place in the lineup.
She did, indeed. And, I mean, I saw her win at York. And to be honest, Mark, if you said to me, give us £100 and you can have Tapestry, I said, I'll give you 90. She just did not take the eye. She didn't appeal one bit. She was lean. She was mean.
Yeah.
There was nothing of her. You didn't think there was any future scope in her. And yet she ran an absolute blinder. On that occasion. So maybe she's strengthened up and matured a little bit, and you know, she's had that little break since the York August meeting, and she could be there or thereabouts. But like I say, she certainly didn't appeal to the eye.
Yeah. Okay. We also know now that Frankie Dettori will take the ride on Ruler of the World, and that means Joseph O'Brien will take the ride on the, well, I suppose, third string.
Chiquita,
yes. So.
Yeah, that's right. But again, As a weight issue got something to do with that, I should imagine.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the thing. I mean, I haven't got the weights in front of me, but he's certainly been finding life difficult round 9 stone of late, hasn't he? Mm. So that might be a reasoning. I'm not just sure.
Okay. Now, Japan have tried to win the ARC for the last few years, Pimmy. They've gone mightily close. And good vibes coming from the three Japanese runners in this year's renewal. Harpstar was well backed, apparently, on the back of a nice piece of work, and apparently all three Japanese runners worked well. So is it going to be their year, Pimmy?
I'd love it to be, actually. I don't know much Japanese, to be honest, but I can imagine that they'll be in their droves at Longchamp on Sunday. There'll be more Japanese there than French, that is for sure, and they will bring the house down if one of their horses does it, because they've got an unbelievable following, the Japanese horses in the Arc de Triomphe. Mm. They've come close the last twice, as you say, finishing second on both occasions. And again, to get that number one slot would be absolutely brilliant. And I think it'd actually be good for racing as well, if you know what I mean. Because, you know, it just makes it that worldwide race rather than it just being an international race sort of thing.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And great, you know, obviously Europe's richest race. If it's got an international field as well, only good for the sport, isn't it?
Can oh, fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. And their enthusiasm is unbelievable, isn't it, the Japanese? So, you know, I'm sure they'll have a great day one way or the other, but if they could steal the show, then I would think it's happy days.
Mm-hmm. Away from the ARC, just a few other news stories. Well, just one that caught my eye. Toronado apparently heading a strong hand and team for Ascot. He's got Toronado and Knight of Thunder poised to take their place in the QE2. It's a pretty strong hand to have, isn't it?
Well, You wouldn't say you don't want to swap it, would you? That is for sure. Both horses, high class individuals, and again, both would more than likely go there with a mega big chance as well. So yeah, strong hand for Hannon and Husey at Ascot. Yeah, interesting stuff there for Richard Hannon, whose horses were in good form yesterday, weren't they as well?
Hmm. Yes, that's one of the big swan songs, if I can say it, to the flat season. And
yeah, but don't you forget the day before Newmarket.
Yeah.
The Future Champions Day.
Yeah.
Don't you forget the varsity race that's coming up. Cambridge and Oxford.
Yeah.
It's looking good. I can't tell you because I don't know if the sponsors have actually been named yet, but they have got sponsorship for the race now.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, everybody's getting very giddy in that area. Cambridge, Oxford, all about it. And I think the universities only go back next week. Most universities have gone back this week, but because they're cleverer than everybody else, they get a week longer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, happy days. But yeah, the varsity race getting a big following seemingly. So,
good.
Just forget that Friday.
Okay.
Well, Future Champions Day.
Some big days coming up then.
You've got it, buddy. You've got it, yeah.
But just changing focus a little bit and looking ahead to the jumps game. And Rich Ritchie is going to end up with a horse in training with Nicky Henderson. So
yeah,
that could be a powerful combination, couldn't it?
Yeah, and he's a nicely bred individual. He's a son of presenting. Looks like he's going to be seen on the race course sometime next month. And yeah, what an owner to get. I mean, not that Nicky Henderson is short of high profile owners by any means, but I'm still certain that he would be delighted to have him on his owner's roster. Now, whether it'll colour the colours of Ricky in the pink, or will they carry the colours of Michael Buckley, which I think are black and white, aren't they? So it'll be interesting to see whose colours they wear. Are you going to go pink or black and white?
So it's a 50% stake, isn't it, for both of them? So it'd be interesting to see what they wear.
Whose colours they go in?
Maybe they'll do what they did with Denman and alternate the colours.
Well, they might do, yeah. Or they might just make it like a partnership together and have fresh colours altogether.
Maybe so.
Who knows? Oh, ah! Ah. Although Ricky and his wife, Susanna, in whose colours the horse will run,
there you go.
Solved the question. Solved it
if
for
only
you.
We'd have read on, we'd have
if only we'd stopped, read the headline and just read the story afterwards, we'd have been sorted.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on. We've got a very good card coming up at Ascot on Friday.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Good racing to come at Ascot. And the first race that we've picked out is the 305, which is a Class 2 handicap over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds. And 12 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. And you could give a number of these a chance. So what are your thoughts?
You could indeed. Now, I look at the top horse and I think of you.
Yeah.
Expert.
Thank you.
And then I think, definition of an expert. X is for has-been.
Right.
Spurt, a drip under pressure. And that's just you.
Right, all right. Oh, he gives me a compliment and takes it away. So what do you make of the horse then, Pimmy?
Well, basically, I must say this, that this is in conjunction with Ross Briley Enterprises, this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, we've sat down together. He's had his hoisin duck sandwich. I've had my dry biscuits.
Right.
And between us, we've come up with this podcast. So basically, he tells me, very, very much a horse to keep on the right side of. I mean, we all saw the dreadful things that happened to him at Ascot when it was the Shergar Cup. Poor girl, didn't quite get it right, reared up in the stalls, and then rather than just accepting the situation, she gave the horse a ride and he ran an absolute blinder to finish fourth. Now, you know, if you thought he got out on level terms, you'd imagine he was a ready-made winner, to be perfectly honest. Prior to that, you know, he'd done nothing wrong. He's certainly an improving individual, and again, with a mark of 97, he just still might be in front of the handicapper. Comes from a yard that's had a great season, that of William Haggis. And obviously, we've got Mr. No-Nonsense Moore on board as well. So, lots of ticks in boxes for Telmead, that is for sure. I thought Mr. Wynn was in trim from the Chris Wall yard, like him as a trainer. Looks like a little bit more could come from Mr. Wynn. He won nicely last time out at Newmarket, and I definitely feel he could be in the equation. And the other horse that I thought also could run a big race at a decent price was Little Shambles from the Mark Johnson yard, because I think there's a bit more to come from this one, and certainly could be interesting off his mark of 88. But I think if Telmead turns up and gets his lines right at the start, very difficult to oppose.
Okay, Telmead then in the 3.05 at Ascot. Moving on to the 3.40 next, and this is the Noel Merler Stakes, which is a listed race over a mile and three quarters. It's for three-year-olds, seven of them in the lineup here, and whilst we've got a couple of improving types, the likes of Big Orange and Mizu, we've also got one that's dropping in class in the shape of Marzocco, who was last seen running in the St Ledger, and before that ran in the Great Voltager. So we'll start with him, Pimmy. A dropping class with it, Gosling, isn't it?
Big dropping class, isn't there? I mean, highly tried, obviously, last time in the St Ledger, and he didn't run too bad, to be perfectly honest. To say he was a 50-1 shot in finishing fifth, you know what I mean? Mm. And prior to that, it was Group 2 Great Voltager, where he ran well enough as well. So hopefully, yeah, he's going to find life easier tomorrow afternoon at Ascot. He has actually only won once, and that was on his debut. Now, you have a slight concern there, don't you, that has he just lost that way of winning? But certainly, tomorrow is his golden opportunity. On official ratings, he's well in the weights, and he certainly should be good enough to get the job done this tomorrow afternoon. And again, as we know here on William Hill Radio, the Pin is certainly a big fan of John Gosden and William Buick. So I think Marzocco is the one they've all got to beat. Obviously, Mizu is improving. Nice sort of horse, not taking on the quality that he's taking on tomorrow afternoon, but certainly progressing. His Dam was a very good horse as well. I think she won over this distance and enlisted company. So, you know, he's got lots of ticks in boxes as Mizu, although he has a little bit to find on official ratings. And the other one, obviously, is Big Orange, another one with a progressive profile from a yard that hasn't really set the world alight this season, that of Michael Bell. But again, he did run nicely last time out when he beat Whiplash Willie in a mile and five listed handicap at Chester. So again, he's got some reasonable form. Got to up his game tomorrow. But again, certainly could be in the equation. So I think Marzocco for me to land the spoils. But I'd expect two big runs from Big Orange and Mizu.
Okay. Marzocco, the selection there then to win the race for a second year in a row for John Gosden and William Buick. And moving on to the 4.15 at Ascot, this is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs, 3-year-olds in action here as well, and this has 14 of them in the lineup, and I imagine will be something like 7-2, 4-2 on the field here, Pimmy. Could be a competitive race.
You'd like to think so, that there's going to be an open betting market here, that is for sure, because it's very, very, very competitive, to say the least. Now, going back to what you just said about Gosden winning the previous race last year, this race was won last year by Jeremy Nasida. Mm-hmm. He saddles Outback Traveller in this race, and he could be interested. Outback Traveller, I didn't particularly enjoy his run when he was 5th of 12 behind Take a Note at Leicester last time out, but prior to that his form was pretty good and pretty consistent. At that time when he ran at Leicester, Nasida was just struggling a little bit. He's a bit better form at the moment, so possibly if you can give him that disappointing run at Leicester, he comes into the equation most certainly. Sir Robert Cheval is interesting for me, the top weight, the Marco Botti runner. Again, he ran well at Donny last time out behind Lincoln, and I certainly thought that was a good run, and he certainly for me had no luck during the race on that occasion. So again, if he'd had a little bit of luck, he might certainly have landed the spoils there. So certainly you give him a big chance. And the other horse that I thought was interesting was Lawyer, right near the bottom, horse number 11 from Kamani and Andrea Zini. He led inside the final furlong last time out in the middle of the track at Newmarket, and again that was over a mile. Steps back a furlong tomorrow down to 7 furlongs, so again think he could run really well tomorrow afternoon, and he might present us with a little bit of value. And the Kevin Ryan runner, well, if you tell him it's Thirsk, he might have a chance, because that's where he loves racing, at Thirsk. Don't think he's won anywhere else but Thirsk, and because of that you possibly leave him out the equation, Comino. But competitive handicap to finish proceedings, or not finish proceedings at Ascot, but to finish the three races that we're looking at, and I'm going to take a chance with the top one, Sir Robert Cheval.
Okay, so Robert Cheval then, the selection in the 4.15. Let's just have a quick summary, Pimmy, if you'll spin us through your selections then one more time.
Yeah, we're going to go in the 3.05 in the 15 handicap, and the selection there is going to be Telmead for William Haggis and Ryan Moore. In the listed race, these are Noel Merler Stakes. We're going to go for the favourite, Marzocco, for John Gosden and William Buick, who landed the spoils in this race last year. And the 4:15 Ascot race, which is over 7 furlongs competitive handicap with the 14 runners hopefully going to post. The selection there is number 1, Sir Robert Cheval.
Okay, good work for me. Thank you very much, and enjoy it on Friday.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. Then you'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capewell in the studio. Ascot Fontwell and Hexham are the 3 meetings in the afternoon. We have Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.